On today's episode, we're going to be talking Jason Witten, Earl Thomas, and DeMarcus Lawrence. Welcome to The Drive. I am Leo, your host, otherwise known as the Dallas Cowboys Addict. All right, so the biggest story last week, and really of the whole NFL offseason, is that Jason Witten decided to come out of retirement. And honestly, when I first read that story, the first thing that went into my mind was, he's probably feeling some sense of relief right now because he was getting a lot of heat from being in the booth. And let's be honest, he wasn't that good. He wasn't good at all. And living under that assumption that he was going to be as good as Tony, it just never came to fruition, and he wasn't doing that great. And I'm sure he knew he wasn't doing good. You know, in this day and age, it's real easy to come across what people think about you. Real, real easy. So yeah, I think he was relieved a little bit because he's going from somewhere where a lot of people don't like him to a place where every Cowboy fan really adores Jason Witten because he's an example on and off the field. But the terms of the deal, as far as I know, it's a one-year deal worth $3.5 million. And it can go up to $5 million with bonus and incentives, depending on what he does. So he decided to come back for his 16th season. Obviously, he's been off for the 1 year he was off. Jason Witten is an 11-time Pro Bowler. He is a leading receiver all time for the Dallas Cowboys. And he will forever be remembered with that run against the Eagles where his helmet falls off and then he just lumbers on. He doesn't score, but he goes a pretty long way without his helmet, and that was a pretty good play. He's going to forever be remembered for that. So I've been doing some research, or not research, just reading a lot of stories, and apparently Jason's only going to play, he's going to play under 25 snaps per game. He's going to be somewhat of a player coach. And then I start to think, well, what are the Cowboys planning right now? Does this mean they're no longer going to draft a tight end with their first pick, which is in the second round? And Jerry came out and said that tight end is still a position of emphasis. Not to say that the tight ends that we had last year, Schultz and Jarwin, weren't doing good towards the end of the season, but they'd still like an upgrade there. And Jason is old. The assumption is that eventually he's going to go into coaching. But I'm not sure how true that is. However, this move by the Dallas Cowboys leads me to believe that they think they can win now. You know, and they think that Jason Witten can help them. Because why else would you go out and get Jason Witten, who I believe is over 36 years old, hasn't played in a season, and the last season that he did play, he still had 65 catches and contributed 5 touchdowns. But I mean, I don't know how much he can give the Dallas Cowboys now that he's been out for a year. And to say that Jason Witten has lost a step is kind of ridiculous, really, because he's never had that step. He's always been incredibly slow. He even falls down slow. But I still believe that he's going to be open in those critical situations on 3rd and long or 3rd and 8 against the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's going to win the game. He's going to make that critical catch, and he's going to help somewhat. But he's not going to be a huge contributor. I do hope, though, that he can help Jarwin and he can help Schultz. Because if they improve even slightly from what they did towards the end of last season, then we're going to have a really good combination at tight end. And that's not even taking into account if they draft somebody who they feel is a very good upgrade at the 56th pick overall. If they go the tight end route. So they're spending $3.5 million, possibly $5 million on 1 year of Jason Witten. Let's hope that he can help them. Let's hope that the studying that he did from being in the booth, talking to coaches, talking to players, let's hope that that translates into something on the field, whether it's him doing it or him teaching the tight ends or him teaching the coaches. Because let's remember, we're going to have Kitna, who's going to be the quarterback's coach, and we're going to have Kellen Moore as an offensive coordinator. So we're going to have two really young coaches there that are going to need all the help that they can get. So let's hope that Jason can bring back some of that knowledge that he gained from being on the booth and help out the team overall, not just the tight ends. Maybe having that one-year insight into the teams will help out the Cowboys. Maybe this was a diabolical plan by Jerry the whole time. You never know. You can never put anything past old Jerry. So maybe the Cowboys take a tight end in the second round. Maybe they go safety. Because now that Earl Thomas came out and said that he wants to be the highest paid safety in the league, that means that he wants over $13 million a year, which currently Eric Berry of the Kansas City Chiefs makes. Now, I wanted Earl Thomas to sign with the Cowboys, and I was hoping that he would give some kind of hometown discount, just as everybody was. But after he came out and said that, no way in hell do I want Earl Thomas on the team. He's going to be 30 years old. He's coming off of two major injuries, significant injuries. Now, I get that Earl Thomas is probably the best safety in the league. I get that he has knowledge of the game that would probably put the Cowboys over the top as far as defense is concerned, making them probably the clear number one, although the Ravens might have something to say about that. But no way in hell is he worth $13 million a year. That's ridiculous. Maybe 2 years ago he was. Maybe 3 years ago he was. Not anymore, though. And if that's the kind of money that he wants, I'd rather the Cowboys look somewhere else. To the draft. If they don't take a tight end, they sure as hell better take a safety. Although there is one thing to remember, though. Like I said earlier, if the Cowboys believe that they can win this season, and that's the reason they brought Jason Witten, then maybe they put all their eggs in one basket and go after Earl Thomas, too. Although I say don't do that. Don't do that. I believe too much in Will McClay and Will McClay's ability to assess talent and draft somebody good for be okay with the Cowboys getting Earl Thomas at that high of a rate. We already have to pay way too many people. We cannot afford an Earl Thomas, not at that price. Because I'm not sure about you, but I would much rather keep Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch together. And I realize that they're not coming up soon for a contract, but I think Jalen is. Jalen is 2 years here, and he's going to have to get an extension. And they better keep that man. Which leads me into other topics. Ezekiel Elliott now wants a new contract. Dak Prescott wants a new contract. DeMarcus Lawrence hasn't been sorted out. Amari Cooper is coming up soon. Byron Jones is also coming up soon. Now here's where I draw the line. I think the line gets drawn at Byron Jones. I think Byron Jones has been a very serviceable safety when he was playing safety, and a very serviceable corner, even supposedly one of the top rated corners, although I think he was beat deep on way too many occasions. But I think Byron Jones, sorry man, see you later, because you just didn't quite cut it. Yeah, you had very, very good coverage, and I feel like you can cover tight ends very good. You match up really, really good against different tight ends in the league, but you can never get interceptions. What is the deal with that? You're always in position, yet you never come away with the ball. And that's a problem. And if he's going to be asking for a lot of money, because I bet he will, I just say let him walk, let him go. So to me, Byron Jones is where you draw the line. I think all the other guys, I think you got to pay them. But here's the deal, though. Ezekiel Elliott, why is he asking for a contract now? You know, he better not start saying that he's going to sit out the season if he doesn't get a new contract. I hope he doesn't. You never know. It's not like he's making chump change right now. He's making real good money. But I can see why he wants his new contract. I think he sees what other Cowboys fans see, which is he takes a lot of contact. He gets hit a lot. And that might shorten his career, so he wants to get paid now. But I've said it in the past, and I'll keep saying it again. I don't want the Cowboys to pay Ezekiel Elliott just yet. I think they're going to pay him. I think they're going to have to, but not yet. He needs to wait. Now, if I were the Cowboys, I wouldn't pay him. I'd take up that fifth year option and tag him once or twice. Now, I know he might not report to the team, but I don't know, man, because then you look around the league and you look at Todd Gurley. He just got his big contract, and now the reports that he has arthritis on his injured knee. So, you know, with somebody with Ezekiel Elliott, who I think takes a lot more contact than Gurley, I'm not sure he can go past those 7 years of the fifth year option and then two franchise tags. Which, why wouldn't he take that? That's really good money. I get he wants to secure his future, but this is a business. Just like anything else, the NFL is a business. And if I know one thing about Jerry, is he's a good businessman. Those are just my thoughts, but like I said, I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to get what he's after, and it's going to be around Todd Gurley's wage, probably a little bit more because, you know, he's the next guy up who's top talent in the league, so that's usually the way it goes. But here's one thing, though, guys. Get used to the fact that Dak Prescott is going to be here for a while. Okay, get used to that. Jerry already said that he was going to pay the man. He said that if he had the number one pick in the league, he would take Dak Prescott. So just get used to the fact that Dak Prescott is going to get paid. I don't like it just as much as you do. I don't like it. I don't think Dak is worth $28 million, $30 million a year. I don't think he's worth that much, but he's going to get it. You know why? Because that's the market for quarterbacks. Simple as that. I mean, otherwise, who do you want playing for the Cowboys that you can realistically get? Do you want Nick Foles? I don't want Nick Foles. Do you want Josh Rosen? I don't want Rosen. Cardinals don't even want Rosen. Maybe Elway does, because, you know, John Elway is the way he is. Oh, and somebody I left off that list that wants to get paid? Cole Beasley. He wants $20 million guaranteed. That dude is crazy. Again, another guy who's going to be 30 years old, who is not, you know, he's not like if he's gone, the team is going to miss a lot, really. He's not a top wide receiver by any means in the league. He's a good receiver. He's a shifter receiver, and he can get open, but $20 million for somebody who's going to be 30, that boils down to 4 years, $5 million, guaranteed. Unless they give him a bonus, then that's like, what, a $5 million bonus for 3 years, $5 million? That would be his $20 million guaranteed? No. I said let the guy walk. I'd rather have Adam Humphries than Cole Beasley. And by the way, Adam Humphries is an actual possibility. So if they don't go after him, then we're probably going to go after somebody in the draft, for more than likely, because Cole is going to walk. And I hope that they go after Humphries. That's the only... See, here's the deal. I don't want the Cowboys to go after any free agents. I honestly don't. But if they do go for anybody, I want it to be Humphries. Because I think Humphries would be worth it. I don't think Earl Thomas would be worth it. Landon Collins might be worth it. But he's probably going to want to get paid also. So the only guy that I really want to get on the team is Humphries. And then everybody else in the draft is fine. Because, like I've said before, I trust a lot. I trust Will McClay so much in his ability to evaluate talent that I'm okay with them just building through the draft as they've come to do in recent years. And another thing about me is, like, a lot of these guys that are free agents is, you know, you kind of know what you're going to get. You've seen it. You know, you've seen it for a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. You've seen what these guys can do with other teams, at least. With rookies, you've seen what they do in college. But there's that factor of the unknown of what they can do in the NFL and the pros. And that, to me at least, is very, very exciting. I love change. I love change because I get excited by change because I don't know what's going to happen. And that, to me, is exciting. I'm probably one of the few people who think like that. But I don't know. It's just something about me. So I like that they take the draft route, because they save in the cap. And there's that unknown factor, like I said, and then you can coach them up. And you know, I just like that. I don't want them to go after any free agents. Adam Humphries, and that's it. All right, coming back, I'm going to be talking about Tank Lawrence's situation and a few other things. So it happened. The Dallas Cowboys weren't able to reach an agreement with DeMarcus Lawrence, and they tagged him. So what does that mean? Well, they're just getting more time. Is there a reason to panic? I would say a little bit, but not really. I know they're still working on a contract situation with him. They do want to extend him, because if you don't extend him, who do you got? Nobody. We all know that. Taco so far has been a flop. I'm sorry, a bust, not a flop. That's basketball and soccer. But anyways, he's been a bust. Not of biblical proportions, but a bust nonetheless, because he has no drive. We all seen it. He just doesn't care. He seems like he doesn't care. Which really, they should have seen that in the combine. But I mean, whatever. Speaking of the combine, there's been a couple guys that have been, you know, all over the sports news. DK Metcalf being one of them, running a 4.340, having under 2.2% body fat, being a massive human being, really. A linebacker playing wide receiver. But is he actually talented? I haven't heard anything about if he's a good wide receiver. I've heard and read constantly about how massive he is, how fast he is, basically just about how much of a physical specimen he is. But how good of a wide receiver is he? Can he run routes? Does he have good hands? Is he smart? What's going on in that department? And then you start seeing all these 40 times, and what do they mean? Nothing. Somebody who runs in a straight line can't really do anything. So show me something else. Is the 40 shouldn't even, I mean, the 40 does have its upside to do. You want to see how fast the guy can move, but it doesn't really translate into anything. Look at John Ross. What has he done with the Bengals? Nothing. Probably not ever going to do anything ever. I wonder if the combine measures. I know there's a Wonderlic test for the quarterbacks. I'm not sure if the rest of the players take that test, but there should be some kind of test for how you understand the game. And I don't know enough about the combine to know if there's something other than the Wonderlic. And I'm not really sure what the Wonderlic goes into. But sometimes these physical tests, like how high you can jump, how far you can jump, how fast you can run, don't really mean much. Show me what you can do on tape. That means more. But of course, you still have to have, you know, your physical attributes, because you don't want to end up being somebody like Kellen Moore, who's supposed to be this football genius but has a noodle for an arm. But I'm just saying, don't put too much emphasis on physical stats, because show me how good you are. But then again, I'm no coach. Anyway, that's the end of my rant there. What was I talking about? I was talking about DeMarcus Lawrence. So like I said, they tagged him. That just means they're buying themselves some more time. That just means nobody else can contact him. Nobody else can have any sort of negotiation with him, because he'd be an unrestricted free agent. It just means they're getting more time. Now, does DeMarcus Lawrence like that? Probably not. I'm pretty sure he is mad, because if I'm able to talk to other teams, that means my price goes up. What I'm charging for my services all of a sudden go up. So I'm sure he's not happy about that. I know there was a report, or somebody tweeted, I'm not sure who, but it was one of those sports guys that's close to the teams or have contacts or whatever. They tweeted that DeMarcus Lawrence isn't happy and he's not going to sign that tag. He's not going to sign it. He's not going to report to camp. And to me, what's most important is he said he's not going to have the shoulder surgery that he needs. Now, why do I think this is important? Because now that they're that he's tagged, they have until July 15th to work out a long-term contract extension. So let's say they do work it out in July 15th, right? Does he immediately go into surgery? Because they'd be dumb not to sign him again. So I'm assuming they're going to sign him and they're going to work something out. But when does he have surgery? Immediately after the 15th? The month after that? How extensive is the surgery? How much recovery time will he need? Will he be ready by September? You know, this is what I'm thinking about when I read this, because I don't want DeMarcus Lawrence to potentially sit out the first month or so, you know, because that'd be like 6 weeks. I don't want him to sit out 6 weeks. So that's why in the beginning of the show I said, should we start panicking that he got tagged? That's why I said a little bit, because I'm hoping that they can work out something soon, because he needs to have that surgery. He can't delay it. And if he delays it, and it, because of all this contract stuff, and he doesn't want to have the surgery, then, you know, that leads me to wondering about his recovery time. Will he be ready and all this stuff? Now, they better sign him. They better sign him now. The other side, the flip side of that is, I don't want him to sign for $100 million. He's not Khalil Mack. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not these guys. So while I am in favor and I want him to get paid and I want him to stay with the Dallas Cowboys, I don't want to give him Khalil Mack money, because he's not Khalil Mack. He's not that type of guy. He's disruptive, but he's not as disruptive as Khalil Mack is. So, you know, there's that flip side. He's probably going to get somewhere around the 90 range, maybe 80, maybe 95, but that's the top, though. They can't go any more with him, and that's a lot of money. But, you know, you have your sides. You have most Cowboys fans, I think, would agree that they want to keep Tank. But there is the outliers that don't want to keep him. And I think most of those people aren't even Cowboys fans, to be truthful. There was this guy by the name of Bill Jones who tweeted, he's like, 3 years ago, New England was in the same spot with Chandler Jones as the Cowboys are. He said, first 4 years, Jones had 36 sacks in 55 games. Marcus Lawrence had 34 sacks in 64 games. New England then ended up trading Jones to Arizona, which he wrote Arizona, A-R-I. Who the hell writes Arizona like that? Arizona's acronym is A-Z. Anyway, to A-Z for a second round pick, and Jonathan Cooper, who was not a very good lineman. And Arizona signed Jones to a 5-year, $82 million contract with 51 guaranteed. And then he says, New England went on to win 3 straight Super Bowls. So that's not the same at all, though. New England has Tom Brady and has Bill Belichick. The Cowboys have Dak Prescott and Jason Garrett. You know, you're comparing apples to pebbles. I mean, it's not the same thing at all. Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowl rings, as the same as Bill Belichick. You can't compare this the two. It's not the same thing at all. Plus, it's not like Chandler Jones went on to do horrible with the Cardinals. In the three seasons that he's been there since he got traded, he's posted double digit sacks. And the year prior to this, 2018 and 2017, he had 17 total sacks. So you can't replicate that kind of production. Usually not from the draft, at least not the first year. And I'd be thrilled if DeMarcus Lawrence can post those kind of numbers that Chandler did after he left New England, honestly. If he can do that, then the Cowboys are going to be even stronger on the defensive side. And while I realize that the Cowboys don't have Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, I think the Cowboys are a very talented team who are very capable of doing good things next year. And I'm hopeful that they can even get at least to the NFC Championship game. That's the goal. And if Jason Garrett is saying that he's not worried about his contract, then he's lying. Because you're on the hot seat, dude. You've been there for years. You haven't gone past the divisional. You haven't gone past the divisional round ever. And one of the times that you were there, you got it because of the record. So he needs to get to the NFC Championship. That should be the goal. If he thinks that he's not on the hot seat, then he's wrong. If he says he's not feeling the pressure, he's just saying that because he has to. You know, he has to keep a straight face. He knows it within himself that he needs to produce something this next season. Or else he's gone. And if he can't do anything, then good riddance. You know, I'm not going to be okay with mediocrity for the Dallas Cowboys. That's not okay. But like I was saying, I know the Dallas Cowboys don't have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but the Cowboys are a very talented team all across the board. It's really hard for me to find somewhere where there's a weak spot. And if I had to say what the weak spot is, it'd probably be we don't have a big body down on nose tackle or defensive tackle, a one technique defensive tackle, and we don't have a and we need an upgrade at safety. I think those are the only weak spots, and possibly tight end. But now that Jason Wynn's coming up, is it a weak spot still? Maybe, because he's old, but I still believe in Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz until they prove otherwise, because last year they were great towards the end. And a couple last things I wanted to say was, in case you weren't aware, Jadeveon Clowney got tagged. D Ford got tagged. Arizona is apparently all but confirmed that they're taking Kyler Murray and they want to trade Rosen. Who the hell wants Rosen? I don't know. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's going to do anything in this league. He's probably going to end up in the AAF sometime soon if the AAF doesn't go under, as it almost did. But they want to take Kyler Murray, the supposedly best combination of running, throwing quarterback they have ever seen, even though he is 5'10". I guess size does not matter in his case. That'll be all for this show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can reach me at thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @Dallas_addict to receive notifications for when a new show gets published. And thanks for listening. See you next time.